prove Christianity is true and you can't use the Bible. How do you respond to this? That is what we're talking about in this episode of Worldview Legacy from the Think Institute. This is Worldview Legacy, the podcast from the Think Institute that helps Christian men become the worldview leaders their families and churches need. My name is Joel Sedekase. I am a former pastor, and currently I am the executive director of the Think Institute. And it's my job to help equip you to better articulate and defend the truth of the Christian message and to lead your family in the Christian worldview so that you can build a legacy where you and your kids and your wife will be able to confidently state what you believe, why you believe it, and answer the world's questions about the Christian message. So that's why we're here today, and we're answering a very common, very important question, and that is, prove Christianity is true and you can't use the Bible to do it because I don't accept it as an authority. How do you answer this? Well, first, consider this. Before you answer, you have to choose your approach very carefully. Before you give any reply at all, you have to ask yourself this: what is my foundation? As a Christian, what is the foundation of my faith? Now, if you answer, well, I know that Christianity is true because of facts and evidence, what are you really saying is your foundation? The evidence. If you say, I know Christianity is true because my reason tells me that it's reasonable to believe, what are you saying is your foundation, your reasoning? If you say, I know Christianity is true because of the deep existential emotional satisfaction that I get from being a Christian, from Jesus, what are you saying is your foundation? Your emotions. So we have to be very careful, because reason and evidence and emotion are not, as Christians, our ultimate foundation. Now, we love reason and emotion and evidence. We ought to use them all the time. They are gifts from the Lord. We ought to use them at every opportunity and thank God for the opportunity to use those. But reason is rooted in the mind. Evidence is analyzed by the five senses. Emotion is a response of the soul to external conditions or even internal conditions. These three are all ultimately rooted in man. But as a Christian, you don't believe that man is the foundation and source of truth and true knowledge. Reason and our senses and emotion and every other faculty that we have are good gifts, but they're all ultimately, they are corrupted by sin, and they can mislead us, and they do mislead us often. Instead, Romans 3:4 says, let God be true and every man a liar. Or in the CSB, let God be true even though everyone is a liar, as it is written, that you, talking to God, may be justified in your words and triumph when you judge. As a Christian, the Word of God is our foundation. It's in God that we learn about the importance of evidence and the benefit of using our reason. Reason and evidence can corroborate, can confirm our biblical belief, but that belief is not based upon reason and evidence as our ultimate foundation. We can trust evidence. We can trust that our reason is valid, that our senses are valid, even that our emotion is an indicator of reality because of the Bible. So our answer to the person giving this objection must reflect this fact. We must not give up the Bible in order to defend why we believe the Bible. You understand? This makes sense, right? Now, all that being said, at this point, we seem to be in quite a predicament. Your skeptical friend has said that you can't use the Bible because he doesn't accept it as an authority, yet you, being a Christian, have no better foundation upon which to base your argument. So what do you do? Well, before we reveal what you must do, let's talk about what not to do. So don't do this. Let's talk about this. Do not pretend like you have a more fundamental reason for believing in Christianity than the Bible itself. The Bible is your foundation, and you shouldn't disguise that fact. You shouldn't hide from that or run from that. If you're going to defend the truth of your Christian beliefs, it's not going to do you any good to lie about what you actually believe. You believe that the Bible is your foundation, right? Don't pretend that it's not. Don't lie to the person that you're speaking with, your friend, and tell him that the Bible is not your foundation. Second, do not pretend to be neutral. You're not neutral. And by the way, neither is your friend. He might claim to be neutral. He might say that he just wants the facts and he's going to analyze them in an impartial way. However, that's not really true, is it? After all, what has he already told you? He's told you he does not accept the Bible. He hasn't told you why he won't accept it, only that he doesn't accept it. Does that sound neutral to you? Not accepting the Bible is just as non-neutral as accepting the Bible. So don't pretend to be neutral. He's not neutral. You're not neutral. Don't pretend that either of you is neutral. Don't fall into that trap. Third, do not presume that you know why your friend rejects the Bible. This is very tempting. You might think you know why he won't accept it, but you don't. Not until you've asked some questions. Maybe what you think is his reason for not accepting the Bible, maybe you have something in your mind or you're jumping to a conclusion. Maybe his reason for rejecting the Bible has nothing to do with what you're thinking. So why would you accept his claim at face value? Why would you assume that he has this great reason for rejecting the Bible? Don't do that. You don't know where he's coming from yet, so don't assume that you do. You know what happens when you assume. And fourth, don't just start giving him reasons. Yes, there is plenty of evidence to believe that the Bible is true, Christianity is true. There's evidence from science, archaeology, textual criticism, history. There are untold numbers of philosophical arguments that you could trot out, and many of them are sound and they ought to be convincing to anyone. And yes, real Christianity is deeply, existentially, emotionally satisfying. But remember, you don't know where your friend is coming from yet. So if you start going down one rabbit trail, he might say, that's great. That's not my issue. I don't doubt that it's, you know, that there's evidence. I don't doubt that it's emotionally satisfying. My issue is reason or whatever. And besides, reason and evidence, your five senses, your emotions, those aren't your foundation anyway. So don't jump down that path. Don't just start giving him reasons. What should you do? Get more info. The fact is, you need more info, more knowledge about what your non-Christian friend is actually thinking. And in order to get that knowledge, you have to ask questions. For starters, you could ask questions like, why don't you believe the Bible? Or how did you arrive at the belief that the Bible is not authoritative? Or if you don't believe the Bible, what do you believe? Or you could say, for me, the Bible is the highest authority when it comes to truth. When it comes to truth, what is your highest authority? In short, you need to clarify just exactly what your friend believes, and then you need to invite your friend to talk about why he believes that. It's important to keep in mind here, Christianity is not the only worldview that is being scrutinized. Your friend has a worldview as well. He might not yet be able to attach a label to it. You might not be able to attach a label to it, but he does have a worldview. No one is neutral. Everyone has a worldview, so you have to keep that in mind. All right, so you get more information and then compare worldviews. All right, by now you can see that the way to answer this challenge is not just to simply throw out facts and knowledge and reasons at your friend without seeking to better understand first his position. Once you do gain that better sense of his reasons and his beliefs, now you're ready to compare his perspective with your own. You've got the information. Now you can make a comparison. That is the key to answering this challenge. You have to think of it not as you just giving reasons to this impartial, neutral judge, hoping that he's going to accept your arguments and your reasons. Rather, think of it as a comparison of worldviews. Which worldview gives a better explanation of life and the world and all of human experience? So you're going to compare worldviews. And when you do, start with yours. On the one hand, there is your Christian worldview based on the Bible. What does the Christian worldview based in the Bible provide you with? Well, it provides you with a strong basis for ethics and morality, rooted in the triune God's good nature. See Psalm 34:8, Mark 10:18, which talks about how God is good. It gives you a solid foundation for logic and reason, rooted in the rational mind of the omniscient, all-knowing, and truthful God. See Isaiah 1:18 and 2 Timothy 2:13, which says, God cannot deny himself. God is the foundation for logic and reason in the Christian worldview. And the Christian worldview gives you a reliable basis for studying evidence and making scientific inquiry. And that is rooted in God's omnipotence and his promise that Jesus holds the universe together. See Hebrews 1:1-3, which talks about how Jesus holds everything together. It even validates emotion and intuition as valid, though not infallible, indicators of reality. You can look at Romans 12:15, Romans 2:14 and 15, Ephesians 1:17. So according to your worldview, which is rooted in the Bible, morality, reason, science, evidence, emotion, and intuition all find an explanation and work well and work together according to God's design and purpose. By starting with the Bible as your basis, you're able to reason your way out into the world, so to speak, and you have an explanation for and an interpretation of all of human life and experience. You have a good reason to trust your faculties and your understanding. This is totally consistent with the Christian worldview. Insofar as your faculties and your understanding and your reasoning are guided by God in agreement with the scriptures. Now, this also means that you have a good reason for trusting in the Bible itself. You're starting with the Bible and you're reasoning your way out into the world. As you do, you see, oh, the Bible says I can trust my five senses. The Bible says I can trust my reasoning. The Bible says I can trust my intuition. The Bible says that even emotion can be a valid indicator of what's going on in the world. And then I come back and I say, what about the Bible itself? Now, this is circular reasoning. All reasoning about ultimate foundations is going to be circular. So how do I know that my Bible is valid? Well, I start with the Bible. The Bible gives me a cogent and coherent basis for trusting in all of my senses, all of my experience, judged by the Bible itself. And then I come back to the Bible and I say, now I'm going to look at the Bible. Why can I trust what I'm reading here? Oh, because I've got all these faculties that are working together according to the plan of God. I'm made in the image of God. God wants me to be able to read the Bible. The Bible is clear. The Bible is from God. The Bible is profitable according to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 for teaching and reproof and correction and training in righteousness. So I can read my Bible and I've got a great basis given the biblical worldview for trusting in the Bible. Now someone's going to say, oh, that's circular reasoning. That's fallacious. It is circular, but it is not fallacious, and it is not a vicious circle. It's not, the Bible says that I can trust the Bible, says I can trust the Bible, says I can trust the Bible. Okay, within the Christian worldview, you have a circle that encompasses all of reality. And because God is ultimately behind that, it's an open circle. It's a virtuous circle, as Greg Bonson would say. Now, after you've started with your worldview, now you move to his worldview. And you're going to contrast all of this with the non-Christian worldview. Now, here's the thing. You might not be able to put a label on what your non-Christian friend believes. You might not be able to say, well, you're a secular humanist or whatever. But you do know at least one thing, and he's told you this right at the beginning. He rejects the Bible as an authority for truth. You know that. What then is his basis for believing that morality or reason or science, evidence, emotion, or intuition are meaningful categories at all, meaningful faculties at all? By rejecting the Bible, he's not just like neutral. Now he has to have some other foundation. If it's not the Bible, what is his ultimate authority that is in the Bible's place? What is that ultimate authority? Is it his own thoughts? Why does he trust his own thoughts to reveal ultimate truth? See, even in the non-Christian worldview, it's not like the human self, the human mind, is some kind of ultimate authority. It is a contingent thing. Contingent means it relies on something else for its existence. Remember, in the biblical worldview, it's all rooted on the Bible, which talks about God as being the basis for all those things. God is not a contingent basis, a contingent foundation, a contingent entity. God relies on nothing. God just is. In fact, he calls himself I am. When you look at the non-Christian worldview, on the other hand, the human self, the human mind cannot say, I am. I exist autonomously, self-sufficiently. It tries to function autonomously, but it can't. It is a contingent being. It relies on circumstances and if they believe in evolution or whatever it is. But the human self is not an autonomous entity, even given that, let's say hypothetically, the non-Christian worldview were true. Even given the terms of the non-Christian worldview, even according to those terms, the human self is not ultimate, not a final authority. So by rejecting the Bible, he has to then substitute in something else for God. He's lost God as the ultimate source of everything needed to make sense of the world. Without God, there is no final authority. There is only what seems best to man, to the self. And what seems best to one person might seem worse to another person. Without God, there's no objective way, no ultimate way to arbitrate or judge between the worldviews. Without God, maybe reason is reliable, maybe it's not. God hasn't told us, and we have no ultimate authority. Without God, maybe our senses are reliable, maybe they're not. God hasn't told us, and there is no ultimate authority. Without God, maybe our intuitions and emotions are reliable, but maybe they're not. God hasn't told us, and we have no ultimate authority. I'm not being snarky here. I say this in all respect towards the non-Christian. Given the terms of his own worldview, he has no final authority for understanding whether or not these things are true and meaningful and good and reliable. How does he know his reasoning is reliable? Ultimately, it boils down to because his reasoning tells him. This is circular reasoning, but unlike the Christian worldview, it is viciously circular. The non-Christian worldview collapses on itself. I trust my reasoning because my reasoning tells me I can trust it. It seems reasonable to trust my reasoning, which tells me it's reasonable. So it's a collapsing circle. It goes in on itself. Unlike the Christian worldview, which goes out and encompasses everything, the non-Christian worldview collapses in on itself. That's why we call it a viciously circular worldview versus the Christian worldview, which is virtuously circular. Okay, so we've compared worldviews. We've talked about your Christian worldview, and now we've talked about his non-Christian worldview. Finally, we're going to bring it home. This is where we really want to get to. We've compared the two worldviews, one that is built upon the teachings of the Bible, the other that is built on the contingent, arbitrary, meaning no good reason, self-chosen thoughts of man. The former is by definition established upon the highest possible authority, the infinite mind of God, the infinite heart of God, whereas the latter, by definition, according to its own terms, relies upon the unreliable, changing reason of man. And I mean that. Human reasoning changes all the time. How many times have you changed opinions about something, right? Me too. We are contingent. We are fallible, meaning we make mistakes all the time. And yet the non-Christian worldview has no greater authority than the human mind, which changes all the time as its final authority for truth. Now, this is what you want your friend to see. He has just two choices. He can continue to reject the Bible as an authority, which he said he does, but in so doing, he loses the ability to trust any beliefs at all, because everything ultimately rides on his own changing, arbitrary, contingent mind. His rejection of the Bible was not a necessary choice. He chose it arbitrarily. He chose to reject the Bible from the beginning. He might just as easily have chosen to accept the Bible. He might have just accepted the Bible. There's certainly no good reason to disbelieve the Bible. And actually, as we've seen, to disbelieve the Bible is to do away with reason in its entirety. But he has arbitrarily, without good reason, decided he's going to start by rejecting the Bible. Now, that might sound harsh, but analyze it philosophically. Use your reason and think about what he's chosen to do. He has started by saying, you can't use the Bible. I don't accept the Bible. Why? Why doesn't he accept the Bible? Because he simply has chosen not to. He might say, well, I'm not convinced by it. I haven't seen any good evidence. Remember, evidence and reason and your five senses, those things have a good basis in the Christian worldview, but no basis outside of the human mind, which is contingent and arbitrary, given the non-Christian worldview. So that's option one. He can stick with his rejection of the Bible, but then he's got no basis for believing in anything, any truth at all. Or option B, he can repent of his self-reliance, his sinful attempts to exclude God from his life and from thought, ignoring God, rejecting God, rejecting God's word. That is sinful. He can accept the Bible. Now, when he accepts the Bible, he's going to come face to face with the Bible's teachings, and they are going to solve his problems. They're going to take him out of that vicious circle. And this is what we want. We want him to be freed from that vicious circle. His problem is not lack of evidence. His problem is not lack of reasons. His problem is the same problem that you and I have apart from Christ: sin. The Bible tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. And yet, John 3:16 tells us that God loved the world, and this is how he did it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 6:6-8. So tell your friend that the same Bible that is needed for a foundation for all the things we need to make sense of the world also teaches the gospel. If the Bible's not true, you can't make sense of the world. You have no basis for it. The only worldview that makes sense and teaches, that makes sense of life, teaches the only message that can save from death. I'm going to say that again. The only worldview that makes sense of life teaches the only message that saves from death: the gospel of Jesus Christ. Invite your friend to repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that is how you answer this challenge. You don't give up the Bible. You don't say, oh, you must be very neutral. I'm going to be neutral as well. You're impartial. I'm impartial. No, there is no neutral ground when we're talking about worldviews. All we can do is compare worldviews. The biblical worldview is internally consistent. Everything fits together. It explains the world. It explains our daily experience. The non-Christian worldview collapses in on itself. I know it sounds harsh. We don't say that disrespectfully, but it collapses in on itself. It cannot explain the world. It has zero ultimate explanatory power. Those are your options, and that is what you want to show your non-Christian friend. It's a choice between a worldview that includes everything, explains everything, and leads to life, versus a worldview that explains nothing, includes only one little point, meaning its own reason, which has to explain itself, and in the final analysis, leads to death. Those are the options. Now, if you want to learn more about the Christian worldview, you need to know about the Hammer and Anvil Society, our learning fellowship where you can get equipped to lead your family in the Christian worldview. Go to thethink.institute/society. thethink.institute/society. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of the Worldview Legacy Podcast. This has been a production of the Think Institute. We are a Christian teaching and outreach nonprofit. I'm the executive director, and it's my privilege to be with you. I hope you'll join us next time. And until then, I hope it made you think.